Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Good evening and welcome live from the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. And for another edition of Breaking the Silence, here we are live on Sunday evenings, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time. We are live right now completely around the world. We're also live on all kinds of different platforms. My son Curtis is in Seattle, Washington, keeping us posted up on what's happening on our Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. So you're welcome to be able to get on that. Watch the show there, or you can even comment there. If you have a question, you can ask that live right there on the question line with the Facebook page on Shattered by the Darkness, or why don't you just give us a call tonight, 888-627-6008. Would love to have you hop in tonight and join in on what's happening here in Breaking the Silence and also Houston. Also want to just kind of let you know, the Astros are going to the World Series starting Tuesday night, so we're excited about that. That's just a few blocks right down the road here, and it's great. I went down to the stadium the other night when they won and walked around and watched some people in the team store, and they stayed up all night, and it was just a great night. So we are looking forward to what they're going to do this week with the World Series. So go Houston, as they take on the Atlanta Braves. We have a little bit of technical difficulty, but it looks like our guest is here tonight. So I'm going to talk about who we have next week, and then we'll bring our guest right on in while he gets acclimated. So everything's fine. Next week, we sure want to make sure you don't miss it. Christopher Jones and his wife, Kelly, will be with us next week. And I tell you, the one thing that I really, really, really enjoy about this program is I get to talk to people, number one, from around the world, and two, that just call me out of the blue. They have heard about me, or they saw the show, or they read the book, or something, and they just want to reach out and talk. And 9 out of 10 times, I will answer that call when it first goes. When my phone goes off first, if I'm available, I'll grab it. If I am on a counseling line or talking to someone else or in a hospital setting to where I can't get signal, I will wait and call them back after I get to a place where I can. This happened with our guest tonight. It's happened also with our guest next week. Our guest and I called me. It was right after church. I believe I was heading home from church. And he called me out of the blue. And we just started talking. And he shared with me some stuff. He shared with me from his heart. And I immediately said, hey, Gerald, you know, our program's all about people coming on and you having your time to share your story and lean into me here a little bit without the fear of judgment, without the fear of blame, without the fear of anybody saying, you know, we just don't believe you. That's not what this program is all about. The program is about giving you a platform to share what's happened to you and helping you break through that silence and be able to tell other people. So that's kind of where we're at tonight. It looks like our guest is up here, and we're going to unmute him, or he can unmute himself when we introduce him. But next week, you will not want to miss that. That's going to be powerful. Christopher and Kelly Jones from Ohio. Tonight, we have Gerald Lynch from the wonderful state of Minnesota. And he has done all kinds of different things, and he has all kinds of education when it comes to religious studies, when it comes to being involved in the Catholic Church, being a special education teacher, working with the blind, and has a real heart for that. He's the co-founder and the chair of the Minnesota Association for Parents of the Visually Impaired, board member for the National Association of Parents of the Visually Impaired, a recipient of the Minnesota Governor's Volunteer Award. Kudos to that, because just not everybody gets that. A national and international advocate for children and adults with disabilities, and a national and international advocate for clergy sexual abuse survivors. And let me tell you, that is becoming more aware of that kind of abuse. And unfortunately, that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit this evening. So all the way from Minnesota, I want to welcome a new friend of mine, Gerald Lynch. Jerry, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, thank we got you. So yes, I can hear you. You look good. Welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you so much.
How's the world treating you?
Good. Very
good.
I will tell you.
Yes.
I'm the happiest in my life today than I've ever been.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Nope. Life couldn't get much better than what I got.
There you go. Well, tell me, because you know you have a wonderful list of things that you do, you're involved in. But you know, Jerry, can I call you Jerry or Gerald?
Jerry's great.
You like Jerry? Okay. Yeah. That's what you do. But Jerry, tell me who you are and what you're passionate about. And then when we're done with all the little intros, I really would love to hear the poem, and we're going to share with people what you really pour your life into now with your writing and poetry. So just tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was raised on an Iowa farm.
In Iowa?
Large Catholic family. Six kids in my family, but I have 96 first cousins.
Wow.
And I have 16 years of Catholic education. And then beyond that, master's. And one of the interesting things that's also going on in my life right now is I've applied for America's Got Talent for next year. And so yesterday, I got an email Friday night at 11 at night saying I could sign up for my audition. And so yesterday I signed up. I'm going to be doing my online audition November 13th on a Saturday at 11 in the morning. And what I'm doing, I've written 22 personal poems of my life, and I will be sharing four of those on America's Got Talent. The gentleman that won 2 years ago, he won top prize with $1 million. It was poetry.
Yes.
And I feel my poetry is as good as his. So I got a shot.
You know, I believe you have a shot, because I one thing about America, and that's one of my favorite shows. So I want your autograph now before you become popular. OK, so go ahead and send it to me. Then I won't have to pay for it later. but one thing I love about America's Got Talent, they not only just do the talent, they're really looking for people that have a backstory to share what got them to the talent and why they're in that. And I think you are a perfect example of a perfect contestant on that program. So I think it's going to be awesome.
I feel like tonight is like you're my practice.
Oh my, okay.
My audition in 3 weeks, you know. So you all are my guinea pigs.
Okay, there you go. Well, tell you what, let's just make you feel comfortable and just lean back a little bit, take a breath. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to present to you Jerry Lynch, and he's going to recite to you from his heart, a poem that I believe this one is called Voices. Is that correct?
Yes.
Fantastic. The floor is yours, Jerry.
Voices. I hear voices. You say what? I hear voices. voices of children, both girls and boys, sexually victimized by clergy. I hear the children's voices, abandoned, tired, angry. I hear voices. I hear voices of the abusers. Do not tell, or you will go to hell. Do not tell, or I will kill you. Do not tell, or I will commit suicide. Yes, I hear voices. I hear voices of the church leaders. Just get over it. We asked you to forgive us. Shut up and go away. I hear voices. I hear voices of the survivors. I hear their testimonies. Truth tellers. Courageous people standing up to their abusers. Yes, I hear voices. Do you?
Okay. And I have a feeling, even if you make that on the show, and that's one of the ones you do, I think you'll be able to hear a pin drop when you're done. Because that's not, Jerry, a poem that's going to get applause until they know that they to start breathing again. Very, very powerful. And I would be absolutely wrong to not say how much of what you just said is out of your own hurt and pain.
It is.
All of it?
Well, I was abused at 22. So it's easier for people to understand the context of child abuse. And so I want to talk later in the program about my abuse at 22. So that would be the only variance in that.
So tell me what relief, what is it a relief valve for you to put those words on the paper of what you're feeling emotionally in those poems? What's it do for you?
See, I'm in a different spot than most abuse victims, clerical abuse victims, because my abuser was a Dominican priest. And back in the 60s and 70s, when a priest was abusing, they would just bump him down the road in the diocese 60 miles, and they would start abusing again. And my priest that abused me, they bumped him into another province, from the northern province in the United States to the southern province in Louisiana. And so I, when all this came out, and priests were credibly accused in a parish, there might be 5 or 10 other victims, and they could at least talk to each other, and they could compare notes on what happened to them. You know, I had nobody. I had absolutely nobody for years and years and years. I went to the board. When you have a priest that you want to report, they wouldn't accept my priest to put on the list as an abuser because I was alone. They wanted 2 or 3 other victims to join me in accusing him to put him on the list. And so what I did, I had to speak, okay? And so I went to my local newspaper. And I wanted to tell my story, and it's in a town of 22,000, you know. But the editor was wonderful to me. He said, I wanted to do this story for a long time, but nobody came to me. And so now you've come. And so he spent about 5 or 6 hours interviewing me for the article. And normal articles in the paper were 26 inches, column inches, and mine was 74 inches. And wow. So My article is out there, and then about maybe 4 years ago, a gentleman called me from Washington, D.C., and he said, I was not a victim of Father Bill's like you were, but my best friend was, and he was dying of cancer, and so he told me about the abuse with Father Bill and him, and this dying man also shared it with his family. So that's the second person, right? And so he was online with Snap, a call with a gentleman from Atlanta, Georgia, and they got talking, And that man in Atlanta, Georgia, also got abused by Father Bill. And those two went to school in Chicago when he was a teacher there. And so we got three of us so we could get him on the list, finally, okay? And then the three of us went to a newspaper in the suburb of Chicago because we tried to find more victims of Father Bill in that area. So the three of us had a newspaper article in Chicago to try to locate other victims. So my story in this little town of Minnesota hit the internet. And if you look up Father William Farrell, OP, you can find my article and our other article from Chicago. So that's my story.
Now, before this age of 22 of this abuse, was there anything that was out of the norm of your childhood, of your youth, of your, young adulthood, anything out of any type of abuse or any kind of
no.
So
no.
Everything was just perfect in your world.
Yeah.
Until 22. We're going to get into that because I really want to get into that in depth on the other side of the commercial. But so up to that point, you had been in the Catholic Church. You've been very active, obviously. You went all the way through the grade school and junior high and high school in the Catholic Church, too, right?
And eventually 4 years at Catholic College. Yeah, my degree is religious studies.
Wow. Yep.
And see, I was in a Catholic charismatic community in Minneapolis. And so I was totally, I didn't know what the word gay meant in 1974. I didn't know.
No, that wasn't mentioned back in 1974, yeah.
Huh?
They didn't use that word back in 1974.
Not
no, for it just for wasn't. Yeah, you know, it just wasn't anything that was.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell you what, we're going to take our first break. On the other side of this, Jerry, I really want to get into what happened with this abuse at 22. How did that? Because I was mentioning this today to somebody, and I said they always ask on the way out of the church. Hey, who's on the program tonight? And I said, Jerry from Minnesota, and he was abused by clergy. And, Greg, another child that's been abused. I said, no, this is a little different. And I said, what do you mean? 22. And it was like, wait, 22? I got to listen into this. Because it happens all the time. And we put our heads in the sand, and it's happening still. I think now they're trying to just be more clever at hiding it than what they had been in the past. Although, Gerald, it was years before you ever got anybody to really listen to you. So they hid it for a long time. But yes. When we come back, I really want to go into depth of what happened to you at that young or fairly young age of 22 and with this Dominican Catholic priest that abused you. 888-627-6008 if you want to get involved with a comment or a question, or get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. We'll be right back with Gerald Lynch from Minnesota on the first for the second segment of Breaking the Silence after this first commercial break. Be right back. Finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. All right. right, welcome back. Shattered by the Darkness, doing really well. I just checked on Amazon last night, and it was in the top 20 again. It just goes roller coaster up and down. So thank you for everybody that's picking that up and reading that. And if you want to reach out to me to talk, feel free to do that. All my contact information is in the book, also on the radio show, and you can give right online and connect with me there. I'd love to touch base with you to find out what you thought about the book, but most of all, how it impacted you, helped you, what you thought about it. We have Jerry Lynch from Minnesota tonight, and we're just now getting ready, and I want to kind of throw out a little prior warning that there could be triggers in what is being said now. So if you are, if that does trigger an emotion in you, feel free to get up and walk out of the room. Do not sit and listen if it's going to bring overcoming anxiety and pain to you tonight. So that's not what our purpose of this is. It's to provide healing and hope, because you get to see a man that's sitting right here saying he's having the best time of his life right now. But we're fixing to go back several years back to the beginning of the abuse. So Gerald, tell me, how does this abuse happen in your life at the age of a young man at 22 years old? Tell us your story.
Well, Father Bill, I was in a charismatic Catholic community in Minneapolis, and he was one of the three leaders of the community. And young men were coming into the community out of the gay lifestyle and enjoying the community, and they would go to confession to him. And they would share with him their darkest secrets. And he abused that authority by having sex with them.
So he would hear their intimate stories and then somehow get involved, intimately intertwined with them telling the stories. He was using that as a hook.
Yeah. And he was a very outgoing priest, and we'd have weekly mass. The whole community would come. Everybody loved him. He was a beautiful man. He was my confessor. He was my priest. He was kind of a father figure to me.
Sure.
And so I had no idea. I didn't know any of this was going on in him. And so the other two leaders of the community, people went to him and told them what Father Bill was doing to them sexually. And so they went back to his provincial in Dubuque, Iowa, and said that he couldn't stay because of this, you know? And so the two leaders came to me and another college student. It was August of 1974, and we both of us were waiting to get into school. And so the two, instead of bumping him down the road 60 miles, they bumped him to Hammond, Louisiana, to a Newman Center with fresh meat. Does that make sense? Anyway, so.
No, none of this makes sense, but that's the way
it went.
None of this makes sense with the way that the church is handling this. I don't
know everybody that's listening, but you get groomed before the sex abuse. And so he had me over to his rectory with all the other Dominicans, brothers and priests there, and kind of wined and dined me and gave me a beer and slapped me on the back and telling everybody how good I am and how nice I am and that I was going to move him to Louisiana. And so I never thought anything of it. You know, here's my priest saying I'm a good guy and telling everybody how wonderful I am. And you're 22 and you got a big head, huh? So anyway, my other college friend and I, we got a van given to us to use for 3 days to take him down. And so we loaded him up at the rectory and we started driving. And so we got to the motel the first night, and I thought, well, Father Bill will have this bed and my college friend and I will have this bed. And Father Bill insisted that I sleep with him, you know, and I didn't think anything of it. I was tired. I was driving all day. I'm tired.
Right.
So I go to bed. And so Father Bill woke me up about 1:30 in the morning, naked on top of me, with his penis in my face, wanting sexual favors. I had no idea what the hell was going on. And I was in a dead sleep. And different guys say to me, well, why didn't you hit him? Well, mm-hmm. I've never hit a person in my life. That's not my nature. I've never been in a fight. And I was just in shock, waking up. And I turned him down and I rolled over and went back to sleep. But that was the beginning of the damage. And then we drove on the next day and got to the second night at the motel. And again, he insisted on sleeping with me. And how do you turn a priest down when he says, you know? Anyway, so again, about 1:30 in the morning, he woke me up naked on top of me. And I didn't know how to respond, but I turned him down and I rolled back over and went back to sleep. And then we got to Hammond, Louisiana, the third afternoon. And then another Dominican priest from that priory there, and Father Bill and my college friend and I, we drove 60 miles into New Orleans that night just to have a good time and French Quarter. And then we went back and, you know, I got to sleep in my own bed by myself that night, thank God. But the next morning we were leaving and the college friend was driving and I sat in the front seat and I was bawling. And, you know, you wave goodbye to Father Bill, but I'm bawling. And so the consequences of this, you know, there are so many victims out there, priest abuse victims, that were abused over and over and over and over. I have a friend, James, we're close, and he was abused from age 10 to 15 by his parish priest, and his abuse was over 150 times. You know, and so everybody's different. Every story's different. But it only takes one time. One.
Absolutely.
One time. Huh?
Gerald, what was going through your mind the first time? Was it like you was dreaming? You was in a daze? And it's like, what, the next morning, did you have a conversation with him, or was you too embarrassed? No. Or did he already have you? And this is this, if you've never been abused, if you're listening and you go, I don't understand, how could he get back in bed with him the next night? Well, obviously you've never been abused, because the grooming technique is part of a brainwashing pattern that really, they almost control you.
Well, if I would have turned him down the second night, the other college student would wonder what's going on, you know, and then I'd have to explain what happened. And it was too raw for me to try to share with anybody.
Yeah.
You understand?
Oh, absolutely. I think sometimes people hear things and they go, well, why didn't you hear this in human trafficking all the time? They kidnap these women, put them on the streets, and people say, well, why didn't you just run? That's not part of the way the brain has been manipulated by these professional groomers. And that's exactly what they are. So these two nights with Father Bill, was there any other times that ever happened between you and him?
No, he was gone. He was gone. You know, he was 1,000 miles away.
Did you ever have a discussion with him about it to this day?
Nope. He's dead now.
He's passed away now.
Yeah.
And was this the only time that you was abused in the church?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
But see, now you got to understand, after that, it was very difficult to go to Sunday Mass. As a Catholic, if you don't go to Sunday Mass, it's a mortal sin. You're going to hell. So I didn't want to go to hell, so I had to go to Sunday Mass. But every Sunday, It took me 10 years to forgive Father Bill, okay? It took 10 years to forgive him. But in those 10 years, every Sunday was hell. When I wake up on Sunday morning, I dreaded Sunday morning. I dreaded going to Mass. You go to Mass and you go like, is that priest going to abuse me too? Is that priest going to abuse me? I couldn't go to confession. I was afraid I was going to get abused in the confessional. You know, it's so hard. It's so painful, you know, and I, to this day, I still have trouble with authority figures because I don't know if I can trust them. At 69 years old, I still have problems with trusting.
So about 47 years later, these two incidents, And that's why I think it's important for people to hear. It doesn't have to take 1,000 times, 100 times. It could be the only one and only, and it could affect you for the rest of your life.
Yes.
If you don't handle that. So tell me, Gerald, how did you deal with that internally? Let's say from 22 to 20, the next couple of years, what kind of battles did you have? Did you have your own demons that you were fighting off? Did you share it with somebody? When did you finally let somebody know, hey, wait, stop the world. I have to tell somebody something.
Well, I went back to the other two leaders of the community as soon as I got back from the trip. And I told them what happened.
Oh.
And the only response that I can remember, and this is 47 years ago, they said, oh, you too. And that was confusing because, oh, you too are a victim, or oh, you too are gay. Because his victims in the community were gay men coming out of that lifestyle. So it confused me forever. You know, did they think I was gay, or did they think, you know, or was I just a victim? I never understood that. And I only was able to stay in the community six more years before I left. But I never had trust in the leaders ever again. And
so, you shared it. Nothing was done. It was no underneath the rug.
No support. Nothing. Nothing.
So when did you go outside of those office walls or the church walls to break your silence with the world? How long did it take you before you told someone else?
The first person I told was my wife after we got married, probably 15 years later. And typically for men that are sexually abused by clergy, it takes 20 years for a man to tell one person. You have so much embarrassment and shame, and you blame yourself for if I would have been a different person, this wouldn't happen. It's all your fault, Jerry. You know, Satan keeps going after you on that one, you know, good time, you know.
Yeah. The what ifs.
Yeah. Yeah. And
if
so
I only if I only said no, I'm going to sleep in the chair. I'll sleep on the floor. Yep. Yeah, then that guilt and shame just continues playing. So what was your wife's response, and how did that affect your relationship with trust with anybody after that?
My wife was very accepting, and I can't go into details.
I understand.
Anyway, but, you know, she understood from her own personal life.
Okay.
And so that was good.
So tell me the second part of that question. How did that, and how does it still? Because you mentioned a little bit, how does it affect your relationships with anyone of trust?
I'm always leery. I always weigh the relationship, and I never let myself get too close to authority.
Over the years, since you kind of, it sounds like in the paper world, newspaper world, people have found out about this story. And has anybody reached out to you saying, hey, Jerry, I've been involved in this. Words of wisdom, how can you help me? What kind of, has there been anything that you could turn the negative into a positive because of other people that you could reach out to besides like tonight? You're helping a lot of people telling your story. But have you had that kind of experience yet of being able to help somebody else through their own pain?
I've been in contact with 4 adult men in the last 6 months that were all suicidal.
They tell you their story?
Different stories, different reasons for suicide. I just want to tell you, all 4 of them are still alive.
That's good. You know, I want to let you know that when and if, let's take the if out, when you get on America's Got Talent next year, you realize that everybody will come out of the woodwork wanting to talk to you because you can't turn the light on this type of hurt and pain without it really making an impact on people's lives. There's going to be so tighten your seatbelt the world could really get busy, and it may be good healing for you to be able to help some people out with that.
I just want to say to you, I've been thinking about coming on the program tonight, and from the bottom of my heart, my biggest impetus to tell my story, to be with you, to be with all of you. If there's victims out there tonight listening that are suffering depression or suicidal thoughts, I'm here for you. And I just want to tell you that I love you.
Fantastic. I tell you what, before we take our second break, I want to give you the opportunity to, at your choice, pick out another one of your writings and share that with us. And then right after that, we'll take a deep breath, go to a break, and then when we come back, we may let you do another one. Because I know you have several that you'd like to share tonight. This is a good.
I got way too many.
Oh, that's okay. No. Because it's interesting when people share poetry. All poetry is not the same. And I like differences. And I think that's what won the guy 2 years ago on America's Got Talent, because it was really different. And he went straight for the hardcore. And boy, once you get your hardcore plucked, it really moves people. So what's the title of this one, Gerald?
I chose a sexual survivor's prayer.
A sexual survivor's prayer.
Yes.
Okay. The floor is yours, my friend.
Weak, trembling, lonely, the Lord is kind and merciful. Misunderstood, brokenhearted, lost. The Lord is kind and merciful. Flashbacks, triggers, crying. The Lord is kind and merciful. Anguish, self-loathing, desperation. The Lord is kind and merciful. Angry, self-loathing, doubtful. The Lord is kind and merciful. Used, defiled. O Lord, hear my prayer. The Lord is kind and merciful.
Wow. Okay, very good. I tell you what, Gerald, we're going to take our second and last commercial break right now. On the other side of this break, I want to talk about what do you think's going on in the world with the abuse that's coming out all around the world. The numbers are getting higher, and it seems like every week there's another rock turned over with a snake crawling out of it, with the numbers that are astronomical. And I want to just pick your brain about what do you know about that, what you think about that, and you come in from the inside looking out, and how has that affected your relationship with the church and your God? So we're going to talk about that on the other side of this commercial break, 888-627-6008, and we'll be right back. Call in.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All right, welcome welcome back to the final segment of Breaking the Silence, live from Houston, Texas. We have our friend tonight, Gerald Lynch, all the way from the beautiful state of Minnesota with us tonight, talking about clergy abuse, talking about his own pain and his own experiences that he had at the age of 22. And he shared with that in great detail just a few minutes ago. And also how he shares now the pain and the hurt through poetry, which is absolutely beautiful. And apparently, you must be, if you can just see my cell phone, you must be hitting the hardcore, because there's people that's saying, wow, this is important stuff. And they're applauding you and saying, thank you for having the courage. And a lot of people do, and there was probably a dozen people that want to let you know, Jerry, because, but you need to hear it. These people wanted me to share this with you. You know, this wasn't your fault, right?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's such a key. I hear that every time I speak, people come up, and I don't want to ever say, oh, I know, and move on, because that's so important to hear it again, because every now and then that little devil gets on the shoulder, and the Pope, if you only, you knew better, you knew you shouldn't have been out there that place, you knew you could have said no, and then it starts playing the ugly, ugly recording all over again.
May I share a really quick poem, please?
Absolutely, please.
The quilt.
The quilt, okay.
I feel like I have finally found a home. I have many brothers and sisters. We are like pieces of cloth discarded in an old attic. Mm. Someone has finally found us. As the dust and cobwebs are brushed away, the beauty of each piece of cloth is admired. Our voices, for so long silenced, are finally being heard. Gradually, our pieces of cloth take shape into a tapestry of beautiful colors. We are no longer alone. We are sexual abuse survivors. What do you see?
Yeah, and you know, that is so good, because a lot of people that's listened to the program that have been where we've been and had happened to us what's happened to us feel like they're still in the attic and they're throwaways. When I always like to use the last segment to talk about hope and encouragement. We're going to do a few things before we get there, but I want to make sure, Gerald, you remind me, let's get back to that, because we got to end on that note. That no one is a throwaway, that there are reasons and ways to turn what the devil thought would take us to hell for us to come out victors and make an impact. And you're doing that tonight. What's your vision of, what's your interpretation of what's going on right now with the headlines in the papers of not only the Catholic Church, because I don't want to just put the spotlight on Catholics. It's happening in every church, every religion, unfortunately, every organization, Boy Scouts and right on down the line, movie stars and everything. It's happening everywhere. What's your take on that right now? Is it always happened and we're just now opening our eyes, or what, Gerald?
I'm amazed at how much I come from the Catholic background, so that's what I got to speak from.
Sure.
But all of the abuses among priest abuse happened around the world back, 50s, 60s and on at the same time. I just feel like Satan had a plan. Satan wants to go after the church leaders. He wants to destroy every church, Catholic or whatever. But if you can get the top dog in trouble, so many people will fall away because of that. And so the biggest way to destroy the Catholic Church is to destroy the clergy. And so it makes a lot of sense. He had a good plan and he's, done it. What's disturbing to me right now is what's the statistics that's come out of France about 2.5 weeks ago. You're familiar,
Yeah, the number was like 3,300, or is it, do you know?
No, 216,000 children were abused by priests and nuns and monks. And if you add in choir directors and janitors and religious ed lay people, the number's 330,000 children in 70 years. I was so angry after I heard that. I was fuming for 2 days, you know. How could this happen, you know? And, you know, what do I do? Well, how do I react? A lot of people, they can't wrap their heads around it. They can't understand it. And so they just have to ignore it because it's too much, you know? Anyway.
Over 300,000 in France.
330,000.
330,000 plus. I guess I had the three right. I just had the wrong, not enough numbers or zeros at the end. Unbelievable. And that's just France.
Yeah. Germany's bad too. And 220,000 Catholics in Germany left the church last year because of the scandal. 220,000 left. For me, being an adult survivor, the Catholic Church has done absolutely nothing for me. See, all the spotlight has been on children because the children could go forth and sue. They had to pay attention to them. They've ignored us as adult survivors. You know, and Jerry Lynch is not going to let it slide.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee it. Minnesota's going to change. We're going to have a law here where sexual abuse of any kind, they're going to take away the statute of limitations.
Absolutely. Like, I totally agree with that.
Just like murder, there's no statute of limitations. There's not going to be statute of limitations. Now, another thing in the Catholic Church, where's the money now? The money's in the parishes because they are separate entities away from the diocesan center. And so when they have the lawsuits, they could the suits could only go so far, but all the parishes stayed untouched. Now, if you were abused by Father Smith at St. Joe's Church, you will be able to sue St. Joe's Church, not the diocese, because the priest was your pastor and you housed him. And so you're going to be able to sue the parishes. I don't know how many parishes are going to remain standing when this is done. They have ignored me. I've spoken publicly at 16 meetings last year in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, and nobody's doing anything. So I don't want to do this law. I don't want to hurt the Catholic Church or the people, but we have to have justice.
Yeah.
And this is the only way we're going to do it. I have been a lobbyist at the Minnesota legislature before for mental health issues. So I know my way around the Capitol. I know how to find people, and this is going to happen.
How has this affected your relationship with the church now? With your relationship with the Catholic Church, you still a practicing Catholic now?
2 weeks ago, I was at a church meeting in a parish, and I publicly left the Catholic Church 2 weeks ago. Wow. I cannot be part of it after what I heard come out of France. I can't be part of a church with all the abuse, and I'm a victim. In good conscience, I have to be true to myself.
Yes.
And true to my beliefs. My relationship with God is as strong as ever.
Yeah, it doesn't take a church to do that.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I'm publicly saying to everyone tonight, I cannot be part of the Catholic Church anymore. I know that I can't control anybody else. Everybody has to make their own decisions.
Absolutely.
On how to deal with stuff. The only person I can change in the world is me.
Right.
And that's all before God. That's all I'm responsible for. But I just have to share my story, and everybody else has to make their own decisions. I got to tell you.
Go ahead.
I'm very close to the Archbishop of St. Paul. We're close friends. We talk on the phone about twice a month. There are 780,000 Catholics in the Archdiocese, and he's my personal friend, and I have his personal cell number. And in fact, with this program, I sent him a poster of this to the Archbishop yesterday. Within 1 hour, he responded.
Is he listening tonight?
He's busy, but he wants me to call him this week to tell him how it goes. And okay. I'll give him the link to go back and archive it.
And I'll send it to you. Absolutely. Well, we'll send you the link directly. We only have about a minute or two, and I knew this hour would fly by, Gerald, but I know you probably have another poem, but I would like to have you throw out your contact information real quick. If somebody wants to email you, what would be the best email to get in touch with you at?
Okay. Everybody get a pencil and paper if you want.
Here we go.
My email address is Gerald, G-E-R-A-L-D, _ manofcourage at yahoo.com.
Okay.
Man of Courage is it's the meaning of Gerald.
Cool. Huh? That is pretty neat. That's a great email. We only have like a minute and a half.
I want to get my phone number.
Okay. Go ahead.
My phone number is area code 651-350-6712.
And the entire world just got that. 651-350-6712.
Okay. And I don't know what kind of response I'm going to get, but be patient with me. I will try to respond to everyone. And if you're having suicidal thoughts or severe depression, and you send me an email, in the message line, put urgent, so I can prioritize people.
Okay. We got it. That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. We have about a minute, Gerald. Do you have one last poem you want to share?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. What's the name of this one?
Victim, Survivor, Thriver.
Okay, this sounds like a good one to end on. Victim, Survivor, Thriver. Okay, yes. Jerry, take it away.
I got to find it. Hang on.
Okay, you're fine. 651-350-6712 if you didn't get that down. And Gerald _ man of courage at yahoo.com.
Got it.
Go ahead, Gerald.
Victim, Survivor, Thriver. Victims. That is what we are. Priest abuse, I am a victim. Silenced by authorities, a priest could do no wrong. Lost for so many, many years, I was a victim. Courage, courage to tell my story to one soul, my wife. Oh, what a breakthrough. I was a victim. Years went by, oh, to tell my story to just one other person. Scary, I was a victim. Validation, what a sweet word. Another person to tell and not be condemned. I was a victim. Listening, a gift, a surprise. I was a victim. Gradually, I was able to open my circle, to trust again, to share my truth. I was a survivor. All the years of pain and mental suffering, self-condemnation, I forgave myself. I was a survivor. Meeting other victims, meeting other survivors, I learned to listen. I was a survivor. I learned to speak. I learned to speak publicly. My abuse, others' abuses. I was a survivor. And now a new stage, still lonely and afraid sometimes. Still timid at times. I am a thriver.
Fantastic. We're going to end on that note, Gerald. Thank you for being with us tonight. Please reach out to him if you have anything. And like we do, I want to, before we sign off, I just want to say thank you, Gerald. I applaud you. Thank you for having the boldness and the strength and the courage to come on and share your story. And may this be the opening of a world of people receiving hope directly from you, and they can reach right out to you. Thank you for being with us tonight.
You're very, very welcome. I'm very honored to be with you.
It was my pleasure, my honor. Like we do every week, we always want to end the program the same way. And Gerald's given you an indication tonight that it can happen for you too. No matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're going to go through tomorrow, no matter what you're going through right now or in the past, whether it was 47 years ago, whatever, I want to let you know there's hope. There's always hope. And you could be sitting right there tonight like Gerald was by starting this conversation off by saying, I'm better tonight than I have been in all of my life. I'm the same way. It's because we broke our own silence. There's hope for you too. Don't ever forget that. Join us right here for another edition next Sunday night at 8 p.m. live from Houston, Texas, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless you. Have an awesome week. And Gerald, again, thank you for sharing tonight. God bless. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.